Now, the DSPCA has long been recognised as a vital organisation here in the city, and I'm sure that at some stage or other, almost all Dubliners have had to call on them for help or advice. Now, based in the foothills of the Dublin Mountains, they will rescue wild animals in trouble and take in lost pets. They also provide educational advice on the care of pets and wild animals, and they provide such needy services as spaying and dog chipping. But they do much more than that. For instance, what would you do if you suspected an animal was being neglected? Or worse still, if you suspected that an animal was in distress or maybe suffering cruelty? Well, if you live in Dublin City or County, the answer is you get in touch with the DSPCA. To find out more, we sent our reporter Terry Flanagan to investigate.
So Liam, this is what you got this morning. Tell us, what is it?
Yeah, we have a herring here. He got himself into a little bit of a tricky situation. He went down into a basement garden and he couldn't manage to free himself out. So we're going to just take him in here to a shed.
Now he's in this cage.
Have a look at him.
It's like a kind of a dog carrying cage.
Yeah, no, we don't put them into the mesh cage because they can injure their legs and they stick their beak through and everything else. So we keep them as dark and as confined as possible because it lessens the chance of him suffering an injury while we're dealing with him.
I know they've got long legs and a long neck and they can fold them up, so to speak, but I'm dying to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, well,
you're going to let him out here now?
Yeah, we're going to just pull that door behind us. We're going to let him out to see, is he standing up straight?
Yeah, just close the door.
See if he's carrying his own body weight. See if the wings are nice and tight to the body. And just get a visual overall that there's no obvious injuries.
Okay.
But I'm happy enough that this guy just got himself into a situation he couldn't get out of and he needed a bit of assistance, but rather than just release him, we prefer to have him checked over here first.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
So you can see, his legs are just tucked in under him and he's quite content to be there.
Yeah, look at the eye in him. He's watching you.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right, so you work away with
him. So we're going to just pop him out on the floor and just see what his reaction is like.
So you're putting the towel over him first.
Yeah, just we're going to darken him out, cover his head.
And you're lifting him in the towel.
As little stress as possible, yeah.
You lift him in the towel.
Yeah, lift him up like so. Not a bother. I'm just going to pop him down and then just see how he reacts.
Oh, yeah.
And there we go.
He's in fine fettle,
isn't he? He's running around there now, happy as Larry. His wings are nice and tight to the body.
Yeah.
No,
no obvious damage.
No. He's quite content. We just keep him for about 24 hours and then we will take him back to the location and release him.
Now, not all your stories have a happy ending like this.
No, unfortunately they don't. Mm. That's the nice part of the job, when you can rescue an animal, bring them back, get them treated and then release them back into their own environment. But come up to the office and we'll show you some of the hard stuff that we deal with.
Right, make sure you lock that door there.
Oh, we'll make sure he's secure.
And we head up to the office.
Yeah. Now, Terry, here we are. We're in the inspector's office.
This is your office.
You might be a little bit shocked about what you're seeing on the wall.
Oh, God. The wall is full of A4 colour photographs, all of what look like dead animals, but they're certainly all in horrific conditions. Explain.
Yeah, this is the serious end of it for the inspectors. We investigate these cases for animal cruelty, prepare a case file, get the guards on board, and we send them off to the DPP in the hope that the DPP come back and say, prosecute.
I'm looking at the photographs. They're mainly horses, ponies and dogs and maybe one cat I can see.
Yeah.
They're all in colour. They're horrific. And lots of them have stamped on the bottom of them, prosecuted.
Yeah. They're cases that we've actually prosecuted. We've got them in the court. We haven't won them all.
Okay, well, start from the beginning. You get a phone call.
Get a phone call. We just pick one incident. I won't mention it because it can be too gruesome, but we'll talk about this little one here.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a phone call to say that this little creature is in the backyard. The person who's seen it is very concerned for its well-being. We call to the property and we talk to the tenant or the house owner, whoever it may be, and advise them of the complaint that we've received. In this case, I'm invited in and shown this little dog, this new little dog, and straight away, I had serious concerns.
Why?
Because of the condition the animal was in.
Mm-hmm. Now, the dog looks very emaciated.
The dog weighed in at less than one third of the natural body weight of a dog of that size.
Mm-hmm.
It was middle of winter, bitterly cold, torrential rain, and she was given birth with no cover. So she was immediately signed over to me and taken straight to the DSPCA shelter.
Now, what happens to her when she gets here?
Well, I had radioed ahead to say I had such a serious case. because I had her on my lap in the van with the heater on, which wouldn't be the normal because she was so cold and she was so wet. So I radioed ahead to say that I was coming in with a seriously ill dog. And literally on arrival, the vet staff and the veterinary surgeon were waiting for me. So she was whipped straight in, hot water bottles, trying to get the heat into her. The vet was doing a physical examination. Then bloods were drawn. The bloods were sent off to University College. And then it was 24-hour treatment. She was constantly checked. She was so emaciated and so weak, she had to be spoon-fed. We gave her 24 hours to see if she was going to survive it or if, you know, she was going to suffer further. And it was miraculous. 24 hours later, she was literally, her head was up. She was taking food. She was going to the loo.
So this animal, how long was she actually here for?
She was with us for months, absolute months. In the first month, I think she stayed with veterinary care. So she was in the veterinary wing. And as she started to get stronger then, we started to foster her out. We've great fosterers. They do fantastic work for us. And this is a socializer. You know, she gets used to other pets changing, different people, situations changing, and she absolutely turned into a smashing little dog.
And what happened to her then?
I met the family who took her on, and she went to a family in Cork, absolutely beautiful family, and she is living now in the lap of luxury.
What advice would you give to the public if they come across a neighbour or somebody who has a dog or a horse or a pony or a cat that's been ill-treated?
A lot of people are very reluctant, very, very, very reluctant to make contact. And it's understandable because obviously the person who's been accused is going to accuse neighbours or friends of making the call. But we now have on our website a confidential questionnaire, and you can literally, you don't have to speak to anybody. You can go onto our website, you can fill in all the details. What we look for is a specific address, a reasonably good description of the dog. You may not know the breed, but is he small, medium, large, colour? An immediate description of the dog and the address gets us to the location. Anything else then we can work out as we're investigating the incident. So the main thing is, yes, there's a dog. It's brown. It's a medium-sized dog. It's at such a location. They're the important things.